Welcome to Faith FM Drive Time. You're listening to Big Q&A. This is the show where we tackle life's biggest questions about God, faith, religion, and the Bible. Together we explore what the Bible really says about the issues that matter most and discover practical answers for everyday life. No question is off limits here because every question deserves an honest answer, and the Bible is where we must go for answers you can trust. Good evening, I'm Caden, your host for today. I'm the pastor of the Merrows Park and Brighton Seventh-day Adventist Churches here in Adelaide, South Australia. Thank you for joining me as we explore life's biggest questions and discover the hope that God offers us. This week on Drive Time, our theme has been Jesus Lives. Does it matter? Today we're asking the question, why does the resurrection matter? Earlier this week, we've been looking at the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus, but today we're going to shift our focus, because beyond all the evidence, and there's a lot of it, my friends, there's a deeper question that God has for us. What difference does all this make for us? What does the resurrection of Jesus mean for your life, your future, and your hope? Today we're going to be exploring that very question together. And to help us do that, I'd like to welcome my dear friend Noel Garvin, who is joining me this evening live in the studio for our discussion. Noel is one of our Bible workers here in South Australia. He is also an elder at the Brighton Seventh-day Adventist Church and also works as a nurse. Noel, you're a very busy man. It's great to have you here in the studio. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you, Caden, and good afternoon, good evening to all our listeners across Australia.
And, Noel, I understand you've just recently come back from an overseas trip.
Yes, I have. My wife and I flew in very early on Monday morning from Los Angeles, the United States, having travelled over the previous evening from New York. And we were a little bit tired, and our bodies, I think, are still trying to catch up on where we're meant to be time-wise, but we're doing fine and getting here.
Yeah. So you were away for a number of weeks. I think it was 2 or 3 weeks, wasn't it?
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And how's things over in America? Because our World Watch tonight is talking about the current crisis that's going on in our world.
I think like everybody else in the world, Americans are very aware that there is trouble in the Middle East, that they are also having issues with fuel price rises. They're also therefore rethinking their travel plans and that sort of thing. And obviously because America is an official country at war, they are at a heightened level of something may happen in some part of their country.
Yes, yes. So they're on alert and life is seriously not normal for them.
That's right.
And it's not here either. And I don't know if you got a bit of a shock at the price of diesel when you came back, because I know you drive a diesel-powered car, but was there anything that stood out when you arrived back in Australia?
Yeah, the cost of diesel. when I left, I think it was just nudging the $2 mark.
Oh, really?
And when I came back, I noticed it was at about $3.20 actually before the fuel excise.
Oh yes,
cut in.
That came in on April 1st.
Wasn't an April Fool's joke, that's for sure.
No,
it was a good one.
It was a good one.
In the US, one of the ladies we drove in was, we drove in some Uber cars over there. She was complaining that fuel was about $5.20 per US gallon.
Okay.
And a US gallon is equal to about 4 of our litres.
Okay.
And I did some quick calculations and mentioned to her that, well, actually in Australia, that price would be about $10 a US gallon if we had been paying.
Really?
If she had been paying the price over there.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so the prices are pretty high.
They are.
Yeah. Well, our World Watch is about this because no one in Australia, can hide away from what's going on with this Middle Eastern war and the effects that we're facing as a nation and all across the globe. So this is from an article from the ABC from this last Monday, the 30th of March, and it says Easter trip plans cancelled over petrol price hikes driven by Middle East war. Now, I've been talking to a few people this week, and a lot of people are telling me that their Easter plans, they're cancelling them because of the costs that are faced at the moment. And it's very interesting.
Yeah, that would be, that doesn't surprise me at all. From the little I've spoken to some people here, they've sort of been reconsidering their plans as well, simply because of the cost of fuel and the cost of living pressures that are on us at the moment. Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah. So this article says rising fuel prices driven by the Middle East conflict are hitting the domestic tourism sector, with cancellations surging ahead of the Easter long weekend and airlines warning of mounting cost pressures. Regional operators are fighting back with fuel vouchers and flexible bookings to keep visitors on the roads, as some travellers scale back trips or delay travel entirely. It comes as new Tourism Research Australia figures show overnight visitor spending fell $2.3 billion nationally in the year to December 2025, with Victoria, New South Wales and Queensland hit the hardest. And so this article then goes on to interview a number of business owners across Australia, those who are doing it tough. The first person is a man who runs a caravan park in North Sydney, 2 hours north of Sydney. And this is Don Kemble. His park is usually booked out this time of year for a local festival, a nearby air show and the Easter long weekend. But instead, he has had two or three cancellations a day. He said people are worried they'll get to a regional or rural area and find that they're stuck and can't get home. Normally at this time, we have 6 or 8 vans a night. Tonight, 0 bookings. And also Reflection Holidays, which manages 40 holiday parks on government-owned land in New South Wales, is issuing guests a $25 voucher to help with the rising fuel costs. So it's very interesting. The hospitality sector, the accommodation sector is facing it, but it's across all over. The tourism sector, it says here, the Northern Australian tourism operators are also feeling the pinch from rising fuel costs, particularly reef operators running large vessels to the Great Barrier Reef. Tourism Tropical North Queensland Chief Executive Mark Olson said many businesses had seen costs rise by 50 to 60%, largely driven by fuel price hikes. And no, I've seen a number of these businesses pass on the hikes onto customers. I went to a business just the other day where there was a big sign there saying there's a surcharge to all purchases, that this surcharge will be passed on. And so a lot of businesses are getting heavily affected.
That unfortunately doesn't surprise me, because everyone's trying to make a living, and so the cost of surcharges or whatever to try and make ends meet would unfortunately go on to the consumer, and the consumer's trying to make a living. So it's really a big vicious circle that we're dealing with here, aren't we?
Yeah. There's an interesting business here that ABC has interviewed in this list here, talking about a cattery. It says Easter quiet at the cattery. Michael Sims has run Sydney's largest boarding facility for cats for decades. Normally his cattery would be fully booked over the Easter holiday period with a long waiting list. But, he says, people are cancelling. They're not wanting to head out to New South Wales country areas because they're worried they won't get fuel and be able to get back, he says. I had a client that said he'd got enough fuel to get there, but he doesn't know when he'll be able to come back. And so to ease the burden on clients, Mr. Sims has introduced, a pet taxi service picking up cats directly from their homes. How good's that?
Black and gold or what?
Yeah, I don't know. A pet taxi service. Now, that is innovative, that's for sure.
Definitely.
He's also switched to an electric car for smaller trips with a new electric van on the way. But he said uncertainty around how long the fuel crisis would last is having a bigger impact than the price itself. If we knew this would be over in a week, people would just book. But right now, no one knows. And that's the uncertainty. No one knows.
And that's the problem, is because you don't know, you can't plan for it.
No.
And if you can't plan for it, the best thing most people decide is to pull back.
Yes.
And that has devastating effects right across the finance
Yes.
System, yes, as we well know.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, the politicians there in power in America don't seem to know, or they're not letting on about it, because every few days they're saying something different about the situation. And in Australia, we had our Prime Minister make a announcement to the Australian people last night. I don't know if you watched it.
Yes, I did.
All 1 minute and 30 seconds of it, or how long it was.
Yeah. It was very interesting that it was basically carry on with your normal life. We know there's a problem. We're not going to tell you how we're going to fix the problem, but we'll try and shield you. And there was no substance to it. It was in my opinion, it was a fluffy feel-good message.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of people thought the same thing from what I was reading in the comments of it. You know, some people said that could have been said in an email rather than getting all the attention of everyone on their TV screens last night.
And it certainly didn't come across with any feeling. My wife and I got the impression that he was just rote reading on the teleprompter. There was no real feeling to it. And that didn't sort of help either, in my opinion.
So our world leaders are not being very reassuring.
No, definitely
it seems. And no one seems to have any idea how long this will last. And so there's a lot of up in the air. There's a lot of instability, and there's a lot of cause for this discouragement and unsettlement at the moment, where people are just feeling very uneasy. The price of living, particularly here in Australia, has gone up. You know, we're the only country in the world, I think, where the interest rates have risen, and it's risen a couple of times, and then we've got this fuel prices, the cost of living, and you can just keep going through all the different elements. There's a lot of people doing it tough right now, isn't there, Noel?
There's definitely a lot of people doing tough. I was able to catch up with a couple of people just after we had returned from holidays, and they were definitely doing it tough. I would put it that people are losing hope. They don't know who to believe. They don't know who to believe in. And so they're searching for the right answers, and those right answers don't seem to be coming forthwith from our leaders.
Yes, yes, that's right. So here at Faith FM, we are seeking hope. And this hope, we believe, is found in Jesus Christ and his words, the Bible. And
absolutely.
This weekend is a weekend that remembers what Jesus did for us. It's the Easter weekend, and we have Good Friday, and we have Easter Sunday, which commemorate the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Jesus tells us that in this world we will face tribulations, and they will come. But he says, don't worry, I've conquered the world, and he's coming back to take us home. And so at this time where there's so much going on, so much uncertainty, pain and hardship, it's an invitation to turn to Jesus, trust in Jesus. There's not much in this world we can trust. What may seem like a normal day one day may totally disappear the next. But Jesus is a sure hope for those who seek him, and we can have confidence in scripture. And so that's what we're doing tonight. We're asking the question, why does the resurrection matter? Very appropriate with the weekend we've got coming up and with what's happening in the world at the moment. Friends, why does the resurrection matter? Because it gives us true hope that this world is not our final home. We have Jesus, our best friend, who wants to save us, help us, and to give us a beautiful life with him in the future. So please stay tuned as we go into this topic. For now, we're going to go to an ad break and listen to a song. And so this song is entitled, I Know That My Redeemer Lives.
Comfort this sweet sentence. acquaintance gives. I know you'll say
Welcome back. You're listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A with Caden and Noel. This week, our theme is Jesus Lives. Does it matter? And we have a fantastic giveaway that we want to offer each of you. Consider it an Easter gift. This book is called The Desire of Ages, and we want to give it to you completely for free. The Desire of Ages by Ellen White. This is a book that has inspired and encouraged millions of readers around the world. It's easy to see why. This book speaks to a deep desire we all have to live a meaningful life, to know that we are here for a reason and that we are truly loved. This book's a powerful devotional classic that traces the life, the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Go along the story of Jesus, all four Gospels together, and it shows the story of the greatest spiritual leader the world has ever known, not just as a series of events, but in a way that brings the story to life. As you read through this book, you'll begin to see the deeper meaning behind his words, behind his actions, behind his mission, and what it means for your life today. We'd love to get this beautiful book into your hands, The Desire of Ages. All you need to do is text us a secret code, which we'll give you right now. You need to text that to our drive time number. The code is SA410. That's SA410. And you text that to our drive time number 0488 808 11. And we'll send this book to you absolutely for free, a special Easter gift from your friends here at Faith FM. There's no cost at all to you. It's absolutely for free, the book and delivery. This is a free giveaway for The Desire of Ages, talking about those beautiful stories of Jesus from all four Gospels put into a devotional chapter form book. We want to get this book into your hands, and you just need to text us the code SA410. Just one word, no spaces, SA410, to our drive time number 0488 808 11. And we'll send it out to you absolutely for free. Noel, you've read this book, have you?
I've read it 9 or 10 times.
Oh, yeah?
I absolutely love it.
Oh, good.
And it's one that we are actually doing in our Brighton prayer group of a morning.
Yes.
And we are loving going through it and looking at the meaning behind the life of Christ and how it applies to us today.
Yes.
It's a fantastic book, and I would encourage everybody out there to take up this wonderful free offer, The Desire of Ages.
Yeah, I've got it in my library as well and been blessed by reading it. It's just such a great devotional about Jesus. And so, yeah, last chance, if you want to get this book, you just need to text us the code SA410. You need to text that to our drive time number 0488 808 11, and we would love to get this into your hands absolutely for free.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A with Caden and Noel. This week, our theme is Jesus Lives. Does it matter? And today we're exploring the question, why does the resurrection matter? Noel, the resurrection is a central teaching of the Christian faith, and we have Easter coming up, and it's one of the big Christian holidays that the whole world celebrates. Now, what does Easter mean for people like us as Christians? It's not all about bunnies and eggs, is it?
No, that is certainly not a part of our belief system, the eggs and all that frivolous stuff that is pushed in main media. The resurrection of Christ is so central to our Christian faith and belief right across the Christian denominations because it is central to, it gives us hope. We yes. can have a belief that we can see beyond the issues, the trials, the tribulations that we are all going through, the wars and rumours of wars. It has not surprised God. God's fully in control, but the resurrection is, because it is true, it gives us hope and a belief that there is something better to reach out for and know that it is coming.
Yeah, no, that's very good. And so the world tries to distract us with these other things, but we want to focus on the true message of Easter and what it means for us as Christians.
That's exactly right. In relation to the topic that we're talking about today, I think we need to look at that central focus of hope.
Yes.
And belief. Because hope, if you have hope, you have a belief in something. And, you know, if we step away from this topic just briefly, you know, our athletes, for example, have a hope and belief that they will be one of the winners of the gold, silver or bronze medal. So they strive for that temporal item. They train, they believe that they will get it. Coming back to the resurrection, because we believe in the resurrection, we have a hope and a belief in Christ. He rose, he will come again, and he will help us to, because he will come again, we have that belief that we can get through anything that is troubling us.
Yes, because Jesus has conquered this world. He's conquered sin, he's conquered the devil, and he's conquered pains, death, suffering, and disease, and so he offers us the same.
That's exactly right. Actually, I'd like to start off with a story, if I may.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
There's a gentleman out there by the name of David Meese. He's a contemporary singer and songwriter from back in the 80s, and one of his songs that he wrote is called My Father's Chair.
Okay.
He actually came from a broken home. His father was used to drink heavily of alcohol. His grandmother used to sniff snuff. Now, I don't know exactly what snuff is. I believe it's some sort of drug that you used to sniff, and I don't know whether it gave you a high or something, but yeah. His family was very broken. And this song, My Father's Chair, actually talks about how, in the first verse, it talks about he was scared of his father. The second verse talks about how he made the choice, because ultimately David became a Christian and a believer in the Bible, so therefore the resurrection and the hope that comes out of that. And he made the choice that he would make his chair a place where his children could come and be home and happy and talk to him and that sort of thing. Then the third verse talks about how Heavenly Father has a chair and how he welcomes us, how he wants us to be a part of a relationship with him, which is central to the resurrection, because Jesus lives again, we can actually approach God the Father directly.
Yeah. And I was reading in the Gospel of John just this morning, before Jesus was betrayed and led away as a prisoner, he taught his disciples that there's a throne in heaven waiting for us, for those who abide in him.
Yeah, and the book of Revelation talks about how we will sit on our Father's throne, I think, in one
yes.
spot there.
Yes,
which is something that we can all relate to in one way or the other.
Mm.
One of the Bible verses I would like to actually turn to is actually found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and verses 13 to 18. Now, the church in Thessalonica was one of the churches that was set up by the Apostle Paul, as we know. It was, however, a church that, for whatever reason, started to go off a track a little bit, and they had these questions over what happened when you die. Was there any hope for you and that sort of thing?
And it's a big question.
It's a very big question. And so Paul, in part, in those last few chapters, in that particular chapter, talks about the hope that we have in relation to the death of our loved ones. And having had my mother-in-law pass away just on 9 months ago, we actually had an interesting situation where a lady brought up one of our aunties from Melbourne, down near Melbourne Way, in Bendigo actually, and she decided to stay for the funeral. Now, as is typical with any funeral in the world, there is crying, there are tears and all that sort of thing. But she said it was the happiest funeral she had ever gone to because there was such hope and belief that we would see Mum again.
Yeah, really.
And she just could not believe that a funeral could be happy in inverted commas.
Yes, yeah, that's right. It's not something you'd normally comment about about a funeral.
And as a result of that, she was asking further questions. Now, I haven't found out what has happened, but she was certainly wanting to follow up on why this funeral was so different to ones she had been to before.
Yes, yes.
But anyway, going back to this verse, the Bible states, "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him." Now, the Bible talks about death as a sleep in this context. "According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep or died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words."
They're encouraging words. We often read these and hear these at funerals and places where people are mourning.
Yeah, they're very encouraging words, and it certainly helps to clear up any superstition or untrue fact. The Bible makes it very clear that we have this hope, we have this belief, because Christ has risen, he will come again, and those that have died before us, if we happen to be alive when Christ comes, they will rise first, and then we will go to meet him in the air.
Yes.
I don't know about you, Caden, but our families have certainly had discussions over what it will be like to meet with our loved ones first and foremost, and who's going to be first to cuddle them and hug them and that sort of thing, and then go up to meet Christ in the air. Have you had those discussions at all?
Yeah, we've certainly had those discussions, and I've had those discussions with people, and yeah, particularly thinking about children and those whom are dear and lost. Many people are looking forward to that resurrection morning, and I really like what it says here that God doesn't want us to be ignorant about these things, and particularly verse 14, where it says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." Mm. So it's a promise based on the resurrection, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
based
right.
on the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus.
That's right.
And so as sure as that happens, we have the surety that Jesus will come again, and he will raise those up who believe in him, who accept him as his Lord and Saviour, and he will take them in the air to be with him and take them to heaven.
Yeah, that's exactly right, and that is really encouraging, and it is a hope that gives us a firm belief in something that is beautiful and coming in the future. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 actually states the very same thing in a slightly different way.
Okay.
But this letter is to a church that, interesting, was raised up out of an error area known for its prostitution and anything goes living. If it feels right, go do it type lifestyle. And I just found that the words are very similar. And, yeah, I thought it was interesting these words say much the same thing.
Yes.
I'll read from verse 12 down a little bit. But yes. If it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith.
So without the resurrection, we're in a hopeless state. There would be no hope.
That's exactly right. We might as well just live life to the full, be merry, and
yep.
There we go.
And that's it.
That's it.
But
more than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. You know, this goes on to say that if the resurrection wasn't true, then we are to be pitied. We are the worst of people from the point of view we are preaching a false hope.
Yes. And it's interesting, it says here in verse 17, if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins, and that's what we would be. Mm. We would be in our sins, our sinful states, and there would be no Redeemer, no Saviour of this world, and our faith would be futile. But here at Faith FM, it's not futile faith, is it?
That's exactly right. And I love verse 20 where it says, where Paul says to the Corinthians, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. He's the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive.
Yes.
And that is a wonderful hope for us to have that. You know, the Bible says things the same right the way through. And I love this particular topic because it is spoken about even in the Old Testament. It is such an important topic that telling us that there is hope, that we can believe because the resurrection did happen.
Yes.
And we can go through all the trials and tribulations that we have knowing that Christ will come again and we will go to a better place.
Yeah, and this is just great comfort, a reminder at this time of year where many, many people in the world celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, that yes, Jesus did die, and yes, he did rise back from the dead and conquered death. And in effect, he's conquered sin, and he's able to save us. I really like verse 23, where it says, but each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. Makes it very clear that our rewards will take place at Christ's coming. At the second coming, that is when we will be resurrected for those who are sleeping in the grounds.
That's exactly right. And it's a beautiful hope that we can have as Christians as we go into this Easter weekend where we think of the resurrection of Christ. Another story, if we've got
some time
that I'd love to talk about. I was actually on night duty probably 10 or 15 years ago at a hospital, and I was in a slightly different role to what I was doing, and I was working in the emergency department, and we had a patient come in about 2 or 3 in the morning, which when you work in an ED is not unusual. This particular patient had come in with a form of abdominal pain, and after all the tests and stuff were actually done, it was found that she needed a very serious, long operation to, it could be fixed. The problem was the patient was about 80 years of age, and so the other alternative was that she could be made very comfortable and she would probably pass away a few days later. After much discussion, because she was a believer and she was a Christian, she actually made the decision that although she could have potentially been, had the problem fixed because of her age, there was a possibility she may have passed away on the operating table, or there could have been further complications down the track in relation to rehab. It was interesting, I noticed that she had this very strong hope that she would be raised again and go to heaven. Her two daughters came in. One daughter, it turned out, was a Christian herself. And so she had this hope and this belief that if a mother passed away or chose not to have the operation, as much as she would be upset and would miss her mum terribly, she knew she had the faith that she would see her mum again. Unfortunately, the other daughter, for whatever reason, I don't know why, didn't have the same belief structure. And she was totally devastated. She could not believe that her mother would actually make this decision. And it was really sad to watch that this young lady had no hope. Ultimately, the patient did pass away, very comfortable up on the wards a few days later. I don't know what happened with the two daughters, but I do know that I saw a very big difference between those that have hope,
yes,
and have belief in Christ coming again versus those that don't. So I would encourage all of our listeners out there who do have this hope to please go and talk to somebody as you can, as you get the opportunity. Share the knowledge of Jesus. Share the knowledge of his soon coming and that there is hope because of the resurrection that we will see our loved ones again.
Amen. That's the good news of Jesus, isn't it? And we're told in Scripture we don't need to mourn like those who don't have faith. Here, we do have faith. And Faith FM is about letting people know about the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. We're going to go to a song break, Noel, but don't go anywhere. And those who are listening, don't go anywhere either, because we've got more to share. This is A New Creation by Carly Fletcher.
Change.
Carly Fletcher, A New Creation. Welcome back. You're listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A with Caden and Noel. We've been looking at a topic about Jesus and the resurrection, and we have a free giveaway that we want to give you. This is a devotional classic, The Desire of Ages. It's a great book that goes through the story of Jesus from all four Gospels. This is a giveaway that we want to give you entirely for free. We'll even send it to you for free. There's no strings attached. This book has inspired and encouraged millions of readers around the world. It speaks to a deep desire we all have to have a meaningful life, to know that we're here for a reason and that we are truly loved. And so this book traces the life of Jesus Christ, the greatest spiritual leader the world has ever seen. Not just as the series of events, but also in the way that brings the story to life. And so as you read this book, you begin to see the deeper meaning behind his words, his action, and his mission. And all about how it can be applied and brought back to meaning in our lives today. So we want to get this book to you for free. It's a great book, The Desire of Ages, and you just need a text and a code to us. The code is SA410, and you text that to our drive time number 0488 808 11, and we'll send this book to you absolutely for free. Again, you just text the code SA410 to 0488 808 11, and we will send you this book absolutely for free. It's a great devotional classic, The Desire of Ages. I have read this book, and I have this book in my library, and I encourage you to get it as well. SA410 to 0488 808 11. And by the way, if you have any comments or questions, or you'd like to shout out from where you're listening from, please don't be shy. We'd love to hear from you. The number is available for you to talk to us as well. 0488 808 11. Just send us a message. We'll love to hear from you.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A with Caden and Noel. This week we have had the theme, Jesus Lives, Does It Matter? And so today we've been exploring the question, why does the resurrection matter? And Noel, you've just shared a very powerful story about your work as a nurse, and the interesting reactions from two different people, one with a faith-based Christian background and one who doesn't, and how there's hope on one side and no hope on the other side. And of course, I've been to funerals where there's hope in Jesus and the resurrection, and also others where there's no hope. There's no talk of that. It's just talk of they lived a good life and they lived it to the fullest, and that's it. And so it's very different perspectives, isn't it? And I guess it really links to our question today. Does the resurrection matter? It makes a big difference at the end of the day, I guess.
Yeah. And obviously we do know, because the Bible makes it perfectly clear that the resurrection did happen, and it is absolute truth that Christ rose from the dead, and therefore we have that hope and belief in what is to come.
Yeah.
It is a situation where, you know, hope and belief, why is it necessary now?
Yes.
And we've certainly talked about in the last little bit of our time together about the fuel crisis and the war and all those sort of things. And you and I both know that life is very uncertain.
Yes.
We can have all these plans, and then suddenly something can happen and we're no longer here anymore.
Yes, you can be gone in an instant.
You can be gone in an instant. And over my nursing career, I have certainly seen that many, many, many times. And it is sad that some people have no hope. And then you go to the false other extreme where it doesn't matter what you've done, you're already in heaven.
Yes.
And the Bible certainly makes it very clear that there is no going straight to heaven.
No. Paul said he doesn't want us to be ignorant.
That's right.
Concerning those who have fallen asleep.
That's right. And, you know, David in the Psalms, I believe it was, also talks about how death is a sleep.
That's right. It's mentioned over 50 times in Scripture, even from the very lips of Jesus. Death is like a sleep until Jesus comes to wake us up. And Jesus will do that. He will come at the second coming because of the guarantee from his resurrection that he has conquered death once and for all.
That's right. And some practical ways that we can share this truth and shape how we live today are, number one, talk about our belief and why we have that belief.
Yes.
You know, tell other people about it. It is so important to not just hide it within ourselves, not just talk about it within our safe groups.
Yes.
But as God gives us the opportunity, we should share that belief that we have and why we believe it. The Bible makes it very clear that we should be prepared to tell people of our faith and of our belief at every opportunity that we are given,
yes,
which is so important.
Absolutely.
The other thing that is really important is that we need to pray and talk to God, because we know that prayer is powerful. Through prayer, we can see marvelous answers to prayer.
It's that connection that we have with God, really. Mm. And without it, there's no connection.
Yeah. And I'm reading the book Desire of Ages at the moment, and we've just gone through a section where we learned how much Jesus actually prayed. And he loved to, at the end of the day, to go up into the mountains and particularly into the Garden of Gethsemane. And he would spend hours in prayer overnight,
yes,
praying for strength to go into the next day for the work that he had been given to do. So if Christ spent hours in prayer, praying for strength and guidance and that sort of thing, we ourselves as mortals should be spending probably a lot more time in prayer than we actually do.
Makes me think of that classic Christian hymn, Sweet Hour of Prayer. And, you know, how many of us have that sweet hour of prayer in our lives that Jesus certainly had?
Mm. And it also ties back to our comment that because we have that belief in that the resurrection, we need to be praying for opportunities that we can share that belief with others.
Yes.
I've got one final story, actually.
Oh, yeah. Which, we
love
the stories.
Share at the moment. And this was a story that happened to me personally when I was in Papua New Guinea for Christ back in 2023.
Okay, so a missionary trip.
Missionary trip, yeah.
Yeah.
I was there with a pastor, and I was actually presenting the health topics prior to the actual main meeting.
Yes.
And so I was, because people knew I was a nurse, and we were embedded in a village group many, many kilometres away from any major town or city, I was asked one day to come and actually visit a lady who had become very ill. And I was talking through my guide pastor, Papua New Guinean pastor, and he sort of filled me in on the couple and that sort of thing. As I approached their tent, my nursing side said, this lady needs to go to the nearest medical clinic. She needed that particular type of care. I wasn't there as a nurse. I hadn't come with any equipment and that sort of thing. So I actually was all for encouraging them to take her to this clinic. She wanted prayer for her. And the husband really wanted me to just pray for her. And I won't say that I didn't believe in the power of prayer, but I guess in some ways I had never seen a miracle happen, so I was a little bit torn between praying versus pushing for her to go to this medical clinic. Anyway, I guess my faith finally took hold and I agreed to pray with them. And so we knelt in prayer and I prayed over this lady for, if it was God's will, that she would be healed of this particular illness that she had at the time. And afterwards, the couple thanked me very much, and I suggested some very simple treatments that could maybe help bring her temperature down. Later that night, word came to me that she was sitting in the audience completely healed.
Really?
And that was a shock to my system.
Completely healed. Wow.
That gave me a big boost that prayer is real, and that because of the resurrection and Jesus living, prayer is real and we need to share our faith.
Wow. The resurrection does matter, doesn't it?
It does.
It's everything. It's our blessed hope. And we just want to thank you so much, Noel, for your willingness to share a number of those stories with us and those key verses from the Bible that give us hope, because this is a time of year where we celebrate the hope that Jesus has offered us. And we're just so thankful to God, and that this hope's available to all of us, no matter where you are or what you've done, no matter what your situation is, whether you're rich or you're poor, no matter what you're going through right now, Jesus is offering this hope to you. It's the hope of the resurrection. The resurrection does matter, and Jesus wants to give us this hope. So our time's up for today, but thank you for joining myself and Noel on Drive Time Big Q&A. We invite you to join us tomorrow, where Emily and Naomi continue this theme and asking the question, how can a day of death be called Good Friday? And I know they've got a special guest on tomorrow. They've got Eli Gouray, and he'll be sharing an amazing testimony about leaving Hollywood and studying now to be a minister there in the States. And this is a fantastic interview of a Hollywood actor turned preacher. So you don't want to miss tomorrow night's on Drive Time. Wherever you'll be tuning in from, we'd love to have you here. May God bless you and keep you, and we look forward to seeing you next time.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.